Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in today's economy, homelessness is back in the news from the New York City Council preparing to sue the mayor over a new homeless shelter policy to a tent city just outside Lakewood in New Jersey. Homelessness in the news like it hasn't been in several decades. And did you see that 60 Minutes piece that aired on Sunday about families living in their cars? It was focused in Central Florida. But it was a reminder that all across the country, as we enter the holiday season, some families are sleeping behind the engine for real. We will also hear in this segment how the story resonates here in New York City. But one of the most striking things about the piece was the kids in this family, the Metzgers, 15-year-old Ariel and 13-year-old Aaron, and particularly the very grown-up Ariel. Here's a clip of her from the 60 Minutes piece.
Every time I see a teenager or any other kid fighting with their parents or arguing with them and like not doing what they're told, it really hurts me because they could be in my shoes, and of course I don't want them to be in my shoes, but they need to learn to appreciate what they have and who they have in their life, because it may be the last day they might have it.
Ariel Metzger from the 60 Minutes piece on homeless families living in their car. Joining me now is 60 Minutes producer Nicole Young, who worked on this piece, which was anchored by Scott Pelley. Nicole, thanks so much for coming on WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And this is not the first time you've reported on homeless families in Central Florida. For people who didn't see the piece on Sunday, what's going on there?
Well, goodness, it's, Central Florida and Florida in general have a real homeless problem. And in Central Florida, what we had found when we first did our first report was that we had a lot of families living in motels. And then when we decided to go back and revisit, we found that there was a layer underneath the motel families and that families were being pushed into cars. And it was something that we had to go and see for ourselves.
You spent a lot of time with Ariel, who we just heard. Tell us more about the Metzgers. Why'd you focus on this family?
Well, we focused on this family because the children were just so amazing. And one of the things with these stories, especially when I'm working on them with children, is to try and find children who can articulate their situation in a way that helps the audience feel for them and understand what they're going through. And there was no better character that I could find than Ariel.
And listeners, there's been a lot of buzz about this story. If you saw it and you've been thinking about it, feeling about it, give us a call and tell us what you thought and felt at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll get into some potential local ramifications, too. 212-433-9692. And as always, our comments page is open. Just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for Nicole Young, 60 Minutes producer. Nicole, is there an ironic mismatch here, too? Because as Florida has one-third of all the homeless people in America living with no shelter at all, according to your piece, aren't there just vacant homes after vacant homes in Florida, which is one of the states hardest hit by the housing crisis?
There are. Funnily enough, there was a huge construction boom in Central Florida, and I think that was one of the reasons that brought a lot of people there for jobs, construction jobs, roofing jobs. And so a lot of the characters that I found, a lot of their parents ended up in the situations that they are in now because there just wasn't any work. There wasn't enough work for them to maintain a stable housing or just basic living. And so I found that a lot of our families, because of the construction industry and because people stopped building and people stopped homes there for vacation homes, the job stopped. And so when the job stopped, the money stopped, and a lot of families then had to make tough choices.
So there's no attempt by politicians or somebody to match people without shelter to homes without people?
Well, I think that the Seminole County, for example, they're doing a lot. They're doing a lot, but clearly there needs to be more that's done. The community really helps, but I think that there are there must be more that can be done to keep families and kids off the street.
Joe in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. And by the way, Nicole, our lines exploded immediately when I invited people to call and give us their reactions to your piece. So all our lines are full, and Joe in Manhattan is on line one. Hi,
okay.
Joe.
Yeah, hi, Brian. This year I've made a point of watching 60 Minutes each episode with my older boy, who's 10 years old, and this piece with the Metzger children, especially the young girl, really struck a chord with my son, because he just realized how fortunate we are, and to see somebody in his age group be so mature and still appreciate what little she has. Just, it really was a great piece, and especially during the holidays, I just think it was when you see a 10-year-old kid reacting the way he did, it just made me very proud that he appreciated everything we have.
Joe, thank you very much for that. I'll bet a lot of families found themselves feeling the same thing as you on Sunday night. And related to that, Nicole, a comment on our webpage from Frank, who writes, such a striking story. The maturity level of those kids was mind-blowing. Like the previous reports in this series, it was fascinating to see how well-adjusted the young people have been, possibly more than the adults.
You know, and it's so true. I think that when I found Arielle, her resilience was just uncanny, something that I'd never really seen in many of the children. And she was such a force of nature, and it was something that I really appreciated from her and admired from her, because I know so many adults couldn't handle what she has to go through on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I'm sure across the nation, in every county and every school, there are lots of Arielles walking around, kind of hiding in plain sight.
Let me play another clip from the piece, because for both stories you did in Central Florida, you spoke to Beth Davalos, who works with homeless kids there. Here's a clip of her from your Sunday night 60 Minutes story.
I hear about it every week, every couple of days. If they're not living in the car right now, they are avoiding it. Some of them don't even have cars to live in, or they recently got out of it.
Why is it happening right now?
The longevity of homelessness continues to rise. So people are running out of resources. The unemployment runs out. Their savings run out. The family that lent them money does not have it anymore because they're looking at economic hardship. And before you know it, they find themselves living in their car because they just ran out of all options.
So, Nicole, that's that timeline that you were talking about. She references the longevity, the increasing longevity of homelessness. So you see people moving from their homes to the motels, mm-hmm. ironically, near Disneyland, staying in a motel near Disneyland because you're homeless, not because you're a tourist, and then from the motels, when they run out of money for that, into their cars.
Yes, you know, we found that. We found that a lot of people have had run out of the good graces of friends as well, and family members who were also struggling. So couches were full, or family members couldn't help them. And you'll find that it's really a downward spiral that so many of the families I spoke with had. And it's just not having enough to catch up and to keep up. And then when they really run out of options, it's when they have to make these really tough choices. And so many of the families I spoke with really had to make those tough choices and had to think about, you know, where's my meal coming today? Where are we going to sleep tonight? And when it comes down to those kinds of choices, you can tell that something's really bad going on, you know?
Melanie in Lock Harbor, you're on WNYC. Hello, Melanie.
Yes, good morning. I just was speaking with a friend earlier about this. It's interesting. And we were wondering why, you know, we live in Monmouth County, New Jersey, and we had Fort Monmouth here, which was a giant army base, which was closed. It just recently closed. And there is so much housing there, so much housing. And we were saying, why is that not being utilized? Because there's other bases that have closed all over the country, not just here. You know, they were ordered closed during the Bush administration, and they just are actually being closed, you know, some of them still now. And why isn't this being utilized? I used to work for the welfare system, and in the 90s, the amount of money that was wasted on motels, people, you know, could have had their rent caught up. They were maybe a month or two or three behind in their rent. And instead of catching up their rent, they would be thrown out and placed in these motels, which was costing so much more. And here it seems we've learned nothing, because now they're not even being placed in motels. They're homeless.
In fact, Melanie, you'll be interested to know, and I think many people will, that as this week goes on, we'll be taking a closer look at some of the homelessness in New Jersey and some in New York. in separate segments. There's kind of a tent city in the Lakewood area,
yes,
as you may know. And so thank you for alerting us to the possibility of using that shutdown Army base to house people, and we'll be following up on that. In fact, also joining us now is Mary Brosnahan, Executive Director of the New York City based Coalition for the Homeless. Mary, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
I know you saw the 60 Minutes piece,
right,
but we don't have people living in their cars, per se, very much in New York, right?
Not so much in New York City, and that's largely due to the litigation that the coalition brought against the city back in the early and mid-80s. The city has agreed to what's essentially a right to shelter. Of course, in recent weeks, Bloomberg is trying to undo that in court, and we're trying to block it. But, you know, we, by and large, see families able to get inside rather than turning to the subways or public spaces. It does happen, but not nearly the magnitude in Florida.
Is sleeping in the subways the New York equivalent of sleeping in your car?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most people at that income level just don't have cars.
Nicole Young, there's no subway system in Orlando, so maybe that's the equivalent there. And, you know, it's certainly a common sight to see homeless people sleeping in subways here, increasingly common, according to my observation.
So true. Having a car in Central Florida is having a lifeline, really, for so many to get to work, to be able to bring their children to school, and essentially, for some people, a place to sleep at night.
So, Mary Brosnahan, is what's happening in Florida a warning to New York in any way, or just a parallel?
Well, what Nicole did so brilliantly is give New Yorkers a frank and honest look at what could happen to New York if we did not have the legal protection and a right to shelter. You see the damage done to those kids. I was very taken with Ariel, as everyone else is, but we run a sleepaway camp every summer up in Bear Mountain for 300 kids. You see a lot of kids like Ariel, but there's another side of kids being forced to grow up too quickly and not being able to have that space to be kids, to enjoy themselves. They're in survival mode. You saw the bathroom that they cleaned up in every morning. It was disgusting. Nobody in America should have to live like that, especially our children. And also understand the implication when they are trying to keep current in their schooling, when they're being bounced all over the place.
Mary Brosnahan from the Coalition of the Homeless here in New York City, thank you. And again, we'll be following up on those controversies in the news right now pertaining to New York City homeless policy later in the week. Mary, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
And Nicole Young, is it that there are fewer protections under the law in Florida? Because despite some of the parallels, the figure in your story is that one-third of the homeless families without shelter in the country live in Florida. Is that because, though there may be controversies between the city council, between the homeless advocates and the mayor here in New York, that the protections for the homeless just are not nearly as strong in Florida?
I think so. I think that the shelter community there is not as vibrant as it is here in New York. So I don't think there are a lot of shelters. And I do think that a lot of the shelters that do exist they will separate families. A lot of what the characters told me was that if you have a family that have boys and girls, they'll separate the boys from the girls. So a lot of families I found were really scared to seek any sort of assistance because they only needed something to help catch them up, and they didn't want to separate their families and separate them into different counties often, which would mean a different school system for their kids. So I think fear had a lot to do with why we found a lot of families in that situation.
And are these overwhelmingly local folks? Because I can imagine some of our listeners thinking, well, gee, if I was really homeless and had no place to stay with a roof over my head, I'd sure rather sleep in Florida than in Brooklyn in the winter.
Well, I found that a lot of families that we spoke with as well were from the area, but also a lot of them had moved to that area in search for stable income right before the recession. So because there was a boom, a construction boom and building and a great economy, and people could go there and find jobs. So you had people who also weren't from that area who just didn't want to leave.
Some good news from this piece that people may not know. WKMG in Orlando reported yesterday that the Metzger family will have a place to live and that Tom, the father, has been offered a job. Was that the result of this airing and striking such a chord in the area in which they live?
You know, I've heard from them that that's what was offered to the family, and we have gotten such a huge response here at 60 Minutes, and just with emails coming in of people saying they want to help in any way that they can. So, and I think most of them have been saying they want to help Ariel with either her schooling, helping to get Tom a job, and helping to make sure they have some stable housing. So,
unfortunately, not every family story can be told on national television. And not every family story is going to be played in front of Congress or the state legislature or the city council, wherever people happen to be. But I'm glad at least some good things have happened for the Metzgers as a result of this 60 Minutes piece. Is this the end of the series?
You know, right now we are just going to keep our eye on the story, and we'll talk to Beth and see if we need to come back.
Nicole Young, producer for 60 Minutes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Kit White from the Pratt Institute on his book, 101 Things to Learn in Art School. And we've been collecting yours on Twitter using the hashtag ArtSchoolLessons. We'll go over some of Kit White's 100 things and some of yours in a minute. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.